Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I ask Heavenly Father that we might understand the principles lying behind this scripture. May we as children of God not be thieves. We pray that we might understand that honesty is not the same as salvation. We pray for your wisdom to work within us today. We ask these things in our Savior's name. We ask these things for His sake and His glory. Amen. You may be seated. Use your imaginations and try to picture a gang of thugs living in a rundown area of Los Angeles or Chicago or Detroit or Miami or New York. They control all the local crime in their neighborhood. Everything from prostitution to drugs and gambling and even protection. They are total masters of their little domain, and the leadership of the gang permits absolutely no disloyalty. Weekly, they import cocaine and heroin from different sources, and they bring it into their warehouse where they divide it up, they dilute it, and they give it to their minions to go out and to sell on the streets. They have killed and maimed everyone who has stood in their way towards illicit wealth. They are evil people. They try to make themselves appear to be evil people. But there is a group within the gang intent on taking over the leadership. One night, those people come into that warehouse and they kill the few guards that are there, and they take whatever money is there and the product that is there, and they abscond into the night. They kill and they steal. How do you think the original leadership is going to respond to this attack upon their turf, their territory? First, they determine who the rebels are. And in this particular case, it's not too difficult to do that. Only certain people could attempt such a thing as that. Then they mount a devastating counterattack. They kill everyone involved in the theft. They kill the families of everyone involved in the theft. They burn their homes. They make a statement to all the world that we are in control of this and we will have no disloyalty whatsoever. This is the rule of gangland retribution. I would like to use that negative illustration as something positive. I'd like to turn it around, see if I can do that, and show you something that is absolutely perfect. Elohim, Jehovah, is the God of the universe, the creator and the owner of all things. He is called the Lord of hosts, and host refers to armies, because he is the leader of an army of holy angels who carry out every one of his commandments absolutely perfectly. with absolute efficiency. The ghetto we call earth belongs to him. The poet David rightly says in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness of the earth is the Lord's. The world and all they that dwell therein are the Lord's, for he hath founded it." That same psalm, David asks, "Who is the King of glory?" I'll tell you who the King of glory is. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Does that suggest that the Lord, who is the king of this domain, is willing to fight for what is his? He is the Lord of battle. "Who is this King of glory?" David asks again. "The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Selah. God told Moses in Exodus 19, "All the earth is mine. It belongs to me." And the Lord says, "Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills." Psalm 50 and verse number 10. "The earth's wealth belongs to Jehovah." As he says, "The silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Haggai 2:8. And God's ownership and sovereignty over all things extends to the people within his dominion. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, that mounts a coup attempt against me, the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel 18 and verse number 4. "Therefore, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord."
Yes, amen.
"Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." It doesn't take CNN or Fox News to remind us that there are insurrectionists all around us. Not only does the Bible point them out, but our very hearts demonstrate how prone we are to rebel. And we're not surprised when our neighbors rebel against the Lord. Some of those rebels wish to actually dethrone the Lord and set themselves upon God's holy throne. Others are content simply to steal what they like without acknowledging God's ownership or paying his royalties. Will a man rob God? Happens constantly. This theological theft is more common than the guy at the office taking a paper clip and using it for personal mail. As our divine landlord and king, Jehovah makes certain demands of us. But from the days of your fathers, Malachi says, ye are gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. God has rules for those living under his beneficence and grace. Israel in particular, mankind in general, have forsaken God's ordinances, statutes, decrees, and laws. They have not kept them in the sense that they are to be guarded by us. The one command mentioned in our scripture is that of tithes and offerings. Offerings refer to the gifts and oblations which are willingly given to the Lord. Tithes, that refers to a tenth. Neither one is explained in the context because Malachi's listeners knew what he was referring to, and so do we. It's not a difficult problem. Even though this is considered to be a small area of rebellion, because it is so common, even among Christians, even though this is considered a small area of rebellion, tithing has some significant lessons to teach us. One is that the first example of tithing came very early in human history.
Right.
Abraham willingly gave tithes of the bounty he won in battle against the king Chedorlaomer way back in the 14th chapter of the Bible. In other words, tithing cannot be sloughed off by you and me saying it's an Israelite thing. Only the Jews have to tithe. It was long before the Jews ever came along. Every human being under God's sovereign reign owes a tithe of what they possess to the Lord. And then the Lord Jesus reiterated the correctness of tithing in Matthew 23 and Luke 11. When Christians refuse to tithe on their weekly income, they're displaying three things: nearsightedness, a lack of faith, and rebellion.
Yes, right.
Selfishness. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Christian who says that he cannot afford to tithe because his income is so small hasn't honestly put God to the test. God has made a promise here. We'll come back to that promise. But tithing actually is not my subject for this morning. It's only the illustration of my subject. It's the tip of the iceberg. As the sovereign king over all creation, the Lord has ordered far more than just a tithe. Go back to Deuteronomy 10. It's always wise to put a little bookmark in the scripture that's read earlier. We're going to go back to it eventually. Deuteronomy 10, and notice verse number 14. Deuteronomy 10, 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also, and all therein is. Jehovah owns everything.
Yes.
If own is the right word to use. It's an anthropomorphic word, I suppose. It all belongs to the Lord. Now go back to verse number 12, which we find in so many different circumstances throughout the Bible. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What does the Lord require of you? To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Based upon the sovereign ownership of all things by God, the rent which he demands of us is our love and respect and service. Yes, I know that Deuteronomy comes in the context of the nation of Israel. It's given to them as a law. But Christ declared that this is a universal principle. In fact, the Lord Jesus says this is the first of all the commandments. It's the number one of all commandments. It applies to everyone. Under the Lord's protection racket, under the Lord's protection, under the Lord's blessing, we are debtors to him.
Yes. Yes.
Owing him our tithes and offerings. But even more than that, we owe him our love and our worship, our respect, our service, our time, our hearts, our families. Now, skip to the next chapter, Deuteronomy 11, verse number 26. In this passage, we hear an echo of our text from Malachi. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, like tithing, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Obedience to the ordinances of the Lord is a part of the rent we owe to God for allowing us to live in his neighborhood, ghetto, his world. His creation. Disobedience is not only rebellion, It is theft. It is robbery.
Right.
Will a man rob God? Remember Deuteronomy 10:14. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? Notice that we owe to the Lord our worship.
Yes.
A logical conclusion is that when we refuse to worship him, or when we worship something else other than the Lord, it is theological theft. And Malachi says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Deuteronomy 27:15 adds, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image and abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman. Now go to Deuteronomy 28, verse number 15. It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Please understand that the word curse, which we find right here, is the same that we find in Malachi, where he says, you are cursed for robbing me. When anyone living in the dominion of the Lord steals anything from him, that man should expect God's curse and these vexations that he describes. Follow the principle of tithing back to an even wider umbrella. The law of Moses is filled with references and instructions about the first fruits offerings. When, by God's grace, a crop was harvested, whatever it was, wheat, barley, oats, lemons, limes, walnuts, the first part of that harvest was to be given to God. It was his. He wanted his cut. He wants his portion. It is to this that Jesus referred in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Not only does the Lord, our divine Lord, expect us to tithe on our income, but we also owe to him our trust,
yes,
our faith.
Amen.
It certainly extends beyond this, but one reason why Christians don't tithe is that they don't trust God to meet their needs. They have a corrupt, or at least a very immature faith. Furthermore, we owe to God justice and mercy, which we don't extend to him, but we extend to others, our equals, on his behalf. We owe him mercy toward them. Will a man rob God? I guess I'm coming full circle here. Let me take you to the very first scripture which speaks about the first fruits. Exodus 22:29. You can turn there. Exodus 22:29 is the first reference to first fruits. This is Exodus 22, shortly after the Ten Commandments. Verse 29. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen, with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, his mother. On the 8th day thou shalt give it me. Notice, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Think back to the first Passover. There they are, Israel is in Egypt. Every Hebrew home or every few Hebrew homes have taken a specially selected animal and slain it, slit its throat, collected the blood of that animal in some sort of basin, and then the father or fathers has taken that blood and painted it or sprinkled it over and on the sides of the doorposts of that house. Because that night, God's death angel was going to go through Egypt and kill the firstborn son of every family that was not protected by the blood. So the Jews that obeyed the Lord, the Hebrews, I should say, the Israelites who obeyed the Lord, the firstborn son of the family did not die. But please understand, he was purchased by that blood.
Right.
And became the property of the Lord. Everyone, every family living in this ghetto is going to have to supply the master with one of their children to serve in the gang, so to speak. It's a debt. It's owed. You and I, all of us collectively and individually, are tenants in the property of Jehovah. We have received of the Lord's bounty every day of our lives, every moment of our lives. We are so deeply in debt to Him that an eternity in hell or an eternity in heaven can never fully pay that debt.
Right.
Nevertheless, the Lord asks very little of us. He only expects and teaches us to love Him, reverence Him, and serve Him. And he teaches us to illustrate that love and reverence by giving him a tenth of what we possess, including our children. While the American federal government takes far more than a third of all that we possess through multiplication of taxes, God says, a tenth. I'll take a tenth. Malachi charges the people of his day with theological theft. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances, have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein have we, or shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. But now, pay attention to something somewhat unusual in all of this. When we pay what we already owe to the Lord, He graciously promises to shower down His blessings.
Yes, amen.
Your bank does not reward you for paying your mortgage. You are expected to pay your mortgage. The federal government doesn't reward... Well, maybe it does. The federal government doesn't reward you for paying your taxes. He doesn't reward you. He rewards somebody else for paying your taxes. The Bible tells us we owe Jehovah our love, reverence, service, and goods. God does not owe us anything. He's not required to bless us in doing our duty. But Jehovah is more noble than any of his creatures. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Go back to Deuteronomy 28, if you would please. I believe it's verse number 1. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. That's reminiscent of what we're reading here in Malachi. The Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. You owe me your obedience, but if you obey, I will set you above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. This is just the positive of the negative we read a little earlier. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way. They will flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. Thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven shall open the windows of heaven and pour you out rain unto this land in his season, and bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Does that sound familiar? The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail of the nations. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. You give to me what you owe me, and I will bless you. You've probably heard the statement, we cannot outgive God. Maybe you've not heard this next one, because I'm not sure if it's true or not. You cannot out-debt God. I'll let you think about it. The Lord is not going to be our debtor. Feast on it. Count on it. God will keep his word. He's made a promise. It is his pledge. Now let me reuse a couple of the words that I've spoken several times this morning. I'm going to put them into another context, but the principles remain the same. It's not that much different. Please turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the law to do them. We could justly say from this scripture, cursed are all they who attempt to steal from the Lord by not continuing in all things which are commanded in the law. But keep in mind that paying the interest on that debt to God does not clear the guilty or remove the guilt that existed in the first place. If from this moment on you explicitly and completely obey every one of God's commands, that will not undo the fact that you have sinned against him in your youth or in your nature.
Yes.
No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Tithing and giving offerings do not make a person righteous in God's sight. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not faith. Obedience to the law is not faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let me be clear. No one will be cast into hell for not tithing. In fact, no one will spend eternity in judgment for not loving, worshiping, and serving the Lord. But all of these things, and much more, shed light on the character of that individual. If we are already dead in trespasses and sins, we are already selfish and rebellious by nature, fixing those things isn't going to improve or correct what was done earlier. If we could, by nature, we would kick God out of our lives, and from his creation, we would take possession of his throne. From birth, we have gone away from the Lord's ordinances because we haven't had any desire to follow those ordinances. We've been selfish. We are rebels and spiritual thieves by nature, and therefore we are cursed.
Yes.
And eventually we will hear God's command, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But then the great eternal judge is also heard to say in Malachi 3:7, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you."
Yes.
I'm here to share with you some good news, some great news, some gospel news. If you will repent, acknowledging your rebellious nature, your past disobedience, your selfishness, your theft, if we can put it that way, if you will humble yourself before God, if you will put your love, trust, and loyalty in the Savior, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord will forgive you of your sin and receive you to himself as his child.
Yes, amen.
Repent before God and trust his provision for your restoration. To be specific, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is the utmost grace and kindness of God. God was furious with Israel. He's angry with us. But if, by God's grace, we turn and return to him, he will, with open arms, receive us.
Amen.
It's his promise. I implore you, wherever you are listening to this message, I implore you, repent before God.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please stand.